Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the first hour of the show, shame on you. Go check it out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? What we've been asking you, obviously, Reggie Jackson is now signed with the Clippers. The question is that pro-Clippers, anti-Lakers? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get your take in. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. But one of the great things is it will take your take on any of the First Take comments. So before we get to more of your take on the Lakers-Clippers, Kurt in Tennessee. Kurt's got a take on Ja versus Zion as Rookie of the Year from earlier on First Take. Kurt, what's your take?
Hey, Jason, thanks for taking the call. Ja Morant should be the Rookie of the Year in the NBA this year. He has a chance to become the first player under the age of 23, shooting 49% from the field, 37% from three-point line with at least 26% usage rate. That's something that nobody else has done in the NBA, and he's playing on a team that's going to make the playoffs. The problem is the media is not going to cover Ja like they've covered Zion. I mean, your company alone has a review of the first 10 Zion Williamson basketball games in NBA history, and they don't talk about Ja on the regular because he's not Zion Williamson. So the problem comes, he deserves it, but he's not going to get enough hype from the media to be able to actually win it because Zion actually played basketball. You're a Raiders fan. It's just like what happened to Max Crosby.
I agree with you on so much of what you're saying, but one thing I'll tell you, listen to me. I've been saying it loud and proud for weeks. Zion is not the Rookie of the Year. Ja is, and it's clear. The over-under, according to Vegas, on win total coming into the season for Memphis was 28. Memphis hit that number before the All-Star game, okay? That tells you how good Ja has been, and that tells you, in my mind, why Ja Morant is not only the Rookie of the Year, he's changed the trajectory of the rebuild of an entire franchise. He's sped up the entire thing. Ja's the Rookie of the Year. Travis in Illinois calling in. First Take, your take. The question of the day with Reggie Jackson signing with the Clippers is that pro-Clippers or anti-Lakers? Travis in Illinois, what's your take?
Hey, Jason. Thanks for taking my call, bud. It's anti-Lakers, but not anything to do with LeBron. It's not anti-LeBron. It's anti-front office. They don't trust Jeannie Buss. They don't trust Rob Pelinka. They don't have a real vision. They're not stable. So to me, it's more indicative of the front office, not a player.
I think that's a great point. People keep pointing out it's still in L.A., so you still get the benefits of the L.A. market. First Take, your take, brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2020 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year Awards, and also the maker of the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, which is an American treasure. Okay, as we continue to break down everything that was talked about on First Take, let's not forget, obviously, that the Rockets are getting a ton of hype right now for playing, air quotes, small ball. We all know that they've gone smaller. They're trying to change the game and the way it's played in front of us. The question is, as they look at Harden and Westbrook, how far can the Rockets go? Jay Williams joins Stephen A. and Max to break down Houston's chances.
Basketball-wise, yeah, though, do you agree that Westbrook and Harden, that the Rockets have enough?
I do agree. And here's what I mean by that. I don't have them winning the championship. But I don't believe that you look at this roster in terms of they made a decision, Jay. We going small ball. We going small ball. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to this, and I spoke to Daryl Morey about this as well. It comes down to this. James Harden and Russell Westbrook. If they play like the superstars they are, who going to beat them in the West? They can take anybody. They can take anybody. It's just a question as to whether or not they're going to play like superstars come postseason time. You can't shoot 23% from three-point range. You can't sit up there and let Damian Lillard give it to you if you Russell Westbrook or somebody like that, just using a hypothetical because of what happened last year against Dame Time. You James Harden, as much as I don't think he choked like Max has said or whatever, but I do believe, obviously, clearly he's played better in the regular season than he's had deep into the playoffs. If James Harden shows up and he brings his A game and Russell Westbrook brings his A game and they're playing small ball, who the hell gonna stop this offense?
As a betting man.
I'm not betting on that. I'm not betting on that.
But you're saying if.
I'm saying if, which is why I said, you saying, do they have enough? Yes, because if those dudes bring their game, I think they could take anybody. I just don't know if they'll be able to bring that game against the Clippers or the Lakers. That's me. But I'm just looking at them and their offenses. I'm like, my God, who the hell's going to stop them? They made a commitment to small ball, and I'm not going to lie to you. It's scaring the hell out of me in a good way because I have no problem being in H-Town in June. It does not bother
me. Who does?
It doesn't bother me. H-Town. I like H-Town. H-Town has been betty, betty good to me.
Take it storm.
A lot of your opinions, Stephen A., are based on the weather and other
Absolutely, without question, weather. The point that I'm trying to make to you is that weather does matter in June.
If it's hot enough.
It does. It does matter in June. It does. Weather.
Go ahead, Max.
I agree with them. They have enough in the sense that when you look at each piece, they have the guys who do the job you want them to do, the way the team is constructed, enough to win a championship. The question is, are the talents of some of those pieces pitched high enough to complement Harden and Westbrook to win a title? Again, I think yes, but they're not pitched so high that you would make them the favorites. So it's possible that they can win. They have all the pieces and their talents are good enough that you can't rule them out, but they're not the odds on favorite or the second most likely even to win. The thing that must be said is the commitment to small ball, which I mentioned right away, gives them the puncher's chance or increases the puncher's chance that they have to win the whole thing. That commitment really is the reason that you can't rule them out. When you look at the team that lost to Golden State in Game 7 at home, it took one of the worst shooting nights in the history of basketball for them to lose by single digits to a fully loaded KD, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green Warriors team that wound up winning the championship. That's how good some of those Rockets players were, but also the system. The Warriors were way more talented than the Rockets. On paper, that should not be a 7-game series decided by single digits. And yet it was, and the only reason, in my view, I know you feel differently, Stephen A., you think the Golden State Warriors would have ratcheted up their game if they needed to, and maybe they would have. But in my view, the Rockets lost because bad shooting, including by their leader, James Harden. That's why I thought it was a choke job. You need that guy to step up. He didn't. He was missing shots. But everyone was missing shots. When you look at this team, they have the lengthy, kind of switchy defender that they need in Covington who can also shoot the three. They have the attacker in Westbrook, and they can play five out because you can surround him with shooters. They can push the pace. They can do all the things they need to do. P.J. Tucker, who can hit the corner three and can play defense and all those things. They have all the pieces you need to do it, but the talents aren't pitched high enough to make them the favorites.
Love watching this team play. Mm-hmm. As a guard, it's like a glorified AAU basketball game. And it's different because that's a unique POV that we don't see in the game of basketball, especially in the NBA. I don't think it's enough, though. And I'll say it's because strategy. I got a chance to talk to a couple of scouts and one coach. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, Jay, this is when things are going to change when you get into the playoffs. We're going to designate one person to meet Russell Westbrook off made and missed shots early, full court length, so he doesn't get a running start, so we limit him transition. We will then in the half court back off of him and then play a man in the middle. If you have bigs, if you're LA or if you're a team like the Clippers and you have a Montrezl Harrell, you play a guy center field that clogs the paint, stopping him from driving the half court. So then it comes down to jump shooting. Now, I think James Harden could get hot. There is a question about him. If you look at the history of him getting hot in the playoffs, where would he be? That's a legitimate question. But I start looking at other guys, Robert Covington, Eric Gordon, Ben McLemore, Daniel House, PJ Tucker. Will they be able to make enough shots if you limit guys like Russell Westbrook and transition and you make Russell and you make James Harden the guy, even if he drops 30 a game? I don't think they have enough pieces to play different styles of basketball than the way that they play one style. And if the thing that we've seen in the NBA, you have to be able to change up your style in which you play, and I don't think they can do that.
Well, Jay, I would challenge
they don't have the personnel to do that.
I would challenge you on that. There have been champions that played a style and said, this is what we're going to do. What you going to do about it?
The small ball style where we launch up more threes than
anybody? I'm not saying small ball. I'm just simply saying that there have been champions in the past, whether it's the Bulls, whether it's the Pistons, whether it's the Lakers, whether it's the San Antonio Spurs. This is who we are.
But those styles all have had physicality.
No, I agree with you. No, I'm not
physicality.
I'm not challenging that. I'm only challenging the notion that you must be diverse.
Okay.
In order to win. I'm saying that there are those that were not diverse. They're like, this is how we're going to beat you. What you going to do about it? And what I love about Houston, if this was Daniel House or if this was Eric Gordon or somebody, even though I respect those guys, it would be different. The two cornerstones for this franchise right now, in James Harden and Russell Westbrook, were the ones saying, we have enough. We're it. What they're doing is letting you know, we're coming.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We continue to get your take. As we know, the Reggie Jackson is now signed with the Clippers. Is that pro-Clippers? Is that anti-Lakers? Where are you guys on it? Christian in California, thanks for calling. First take your take. What's your take on this?
I just think that the Clippers are getting all these free agents and got players coming to them because the management situation there is a lot better. The owner is a great owner. He's willing to spend the money. He shows that he loves his team. And with the Lakers, their ownership has always been since the head guy left, Mr. West, since he passed away, it's always been up in the air. So I think a lot of the players are seeing that the Clippers are an up-and-coming team. You know, they're trying to get their own stadium, their own arena. And the owner, Steve Ballmer, has it together, including the coaching staff. And players are recognizing that and seeing that.
And I totally agree with so much of that. I mean, I think ownership does matter, especially the NBA players that know how much they control their own destiny. They can really pick where they want to go, and they can market themselves anywhere. Now, Billy points out on Twitter, do we have confirmation the Lakers even offered Reggie Jackson a deal? If so, what were the terms? And that's a fair point. You know, part of this conversation has to come from the fact that we've anticipated the Lakers being eager and anxious to do something in the buyout market. That didn't happen here. So how much of this is based on simply the anticipation? But even aside from just Reggie Jackson, let's admit that there have been multiple instances, as Stephen A. has pointed out throughout the course of the show today, there have been multiple instances of players flat out choosing the Clippers over the Lakers, and it sort of shakes the basketball community that's not used to it. Now, let's get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The Straight Talk came from Steve Kerr. We know that Steph Curry is starting to at least be active, so we're not sure what it means for when he's going to get into the game, but Coach was asked about it.
We're calling it Tom Brady today. Not touch Steph. I think it was more for fun than anything, but he took part in everything other than our scrimmage. The scrimmage at the end, and he didn't do that. Took part in everything else, and he's looking great.
That's Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart, coming from Coach Kerr. And the Straight Talk continued with Jay Williams, Max, and Stephen A., as they sat down to figure out, even if Steph can come back, even if miraculously Klay can come back, should they get on the court this year?
Listen, somebody needs to take Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And I don't give a damn if you got to lock them in a room or something like that. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them. Joe Lacob, my man. Steve Kerr. Bob Mott. Stop it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what Steph Curry says. Klay Thompson. Let me say this. I speak from a position of passion and heart when it comes to these dudes. I love what these brothers mean to the game. Del Curry, the father of Steph Curry. Seth Curry, the brother of Steph Curry. I don't give a damn. The wife, the wonderful wife, kidnapped this brother. I don't want to see him on the court. What have you given us the last 5 years? Five straight trips to get him off the screen. I want the camera on me. Five straight trips to the NBA Finals. Three titles. You lost one after a 73-9 season in game seven. Last year, KD goes down and then Klay went down. They weren't a basketball team. They were a damn infirmary. You still went six games with Toronto. They have given us so much. I want them back. I don't want anything compromising it. This season, you're 12-43. You're 12-43. This season's a wash. What you've done for the Bay Area, how you've returned basketball, you owe them nothing. You owe us nothing. Take a rest. Chill. Get yourself 100%. Work out. Go to the game and cheer the team on. Plan your vacations. Don't you dare step on an NBA basketball court this season. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them because I don't want anything to happen where you get another injury and you compromise next season because they will be back. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry is the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of basketball. Make no mistake about it. They get back on the court next year, they title contend. They're going to be right in the mix. I'm telling you right now, don't let anything interfere with that Joe Lacob. Listen to your man. Bob Myers, listen to your man. Steve Kerr, I like you, man. I like you. I really, really do. Okay? Listen to me. Do not let Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I know Klay, I ain't got to worry about Klay because Michael Thompson ain't having it. He ain't having it. Michael Thompson ain't having it. Our colleague at 710 ESPN LA. He ain't having it. His son not getting back on that damn court this year. Steph Curry, Del Curry, Steph, the wonderful wife, mama, the gorgeous mama. Just stop it. Steph Curry needs to stay the hell off the court. Because we need you. This game misses you. And we need you. This season's nothing. You gave us five beautiful years. And you're going to give us five more. You're going to give us five more. Because they that bad. They that legit. Just relax for this season. It's a vacation. Don't mess with it, Max. Don't mess with it.
Originally, of course, I didn't want Klay to play because it's obvious he wasn't going to. And originally, I thought, no, Steph should come back if he can and play this year. But March? What are we, is that a joke? You're gonna what is the point? In March? Stephen A., it doesn't make any sense. Stephen A., I want to read you something. This is from Real GM after the trade deadline. It's not just now. And by the way, I don't think Steph and Klay's windows are short right now. The way they shoot, they can be valuable going forward into the distant future, even if they're not as valuable as they are, you know, in the immediate future. In 2020, Golden State, think about this, and Stephen A., keep in mind how they draft and develop, including Steph and Klay. Those guys weren't sure thing superstars coming out of college. And Dre. Okay, hold on. 2020, this year, they have their own first-round pick. It's protected top 20. They have the Dallas Mavericks second-round pick and the Utah Jazz second-round pick. 2021, they have their own first-round pick. They have the Minnesota Timberwolves first-round pick, which is only top three protected. They have the Denver and Timberwolves second-round pick. 2022, they have their own first-round pick and their second and the Raptors second-round pick. They got all these picks coming up in the next 3 years. And in their hands, they're more valuable than picks for another franchise. They're better at evaluating talent. They're better at using their imagination in terms of how to use that talent. And they're better at developing that talent and fitting them into a system. So it's not just, oh, but Steph and Klay, they got to do something next year. No, Klay, I don't expect to be as good as he's going to be the year after next year. But having a healthy Steph and Klay, whatever version of them, next year is immediately going to make them a playoff contender. And the following year, they're going to be a finals contender. And they're going to not only have their first round pick that they drafted this year, they're going to have first round picks going forward, multiple first round picks. They are sitting pretty right now to continue this run as this dynastic powerhouse. If they don't screw it up, I totally agree. It makes no sense for Steph to play games in March.
Well, let me say this to you with the blasphemous words that I just heard come out of your mouth. I believe that anytime Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are on the basketball court together and healthy, they are instant title contenders. That means next year. That don't mean 2 years from now. That means next year. You know why? Because their success isn't predicated on their athleticism. It's predicated on their marksmanship. And these are two of the elite marksmen this game has ever seen. I'm going to remind the world, listen, Reggie Miller is a Hall of Famer. Ray Allen is a Hall of Famer. I go back to the days of Dale Ellis, Del Curry, Ricky Pierce, downtown Freddie Brown in Seattle in the late 70s and early 80s. And I'm telling you, even with Larry Bird, those two dudes and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are the two greatest shooters I've ever seen in my life. And I'm talking about the greatest, without question, the greatest backcourt, the greatest shooting backcourt
the game of basketball
has ever seen. And I'm saying to you, next year, not 2 years from now, next year, let them stay on the basketball court healthy. Because you got to remember, Max, we ain't talking about just perimeter shots. You're talking about free throws, too. They don't miss. Telling you right now, there'll be a
title
contender right next year.
You're right about the shooting. The shooting is why I think their horizons are longer than people suspect. But the reason I don't think they'll be title contenders right away next year coming off of injuries is that you're underrating the importance of their athletic ability. Stephen A., you and I, when we were much younger, saw Trent Tucker and then also later Allen Houston with the Knicks. You think Allen Houston shot better than Trent Tucker? No, they both shot really well, but Allen Houston was more athletic, bigger, and could do more things. He wasn't like a slasher kind of guy or a point guard type guy, but for a two, he could do things that other twos couldn't. That's why he was a star, not just the shooting. Steph's like Klay Thompson. Steph Curry, it's not just that he can shoot from, you know, from the parking lot. The guy can get to places on the floor because of his handles and quickness in small spaces that others can't. You're sleeping on the combination of their marksmanship with unusual athletic ability for players with that level of marksmanship.
It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Coming up, with Drew Brees returning for another season, does that make the Saints the favorites in the NFC? You'll hear what the First Take panel had to say about that. Plus, we're going to get more of your take. Are we anti-Lakers, pro-Clippers? Why are players gravitating to one over the other? That's all coming up. But first, when it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need to get to your shortlist of qualified candidates, and you need to do it fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in just minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Remember, your time is precious. We get it. Let Indeed help you get to your shortlist of qualified candidates and discover why more than 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. That's Indeed.com/hire. More First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio coming up after this. I'm Jason Fitz. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, RVs, for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Also, don't forget, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We've been asking you for your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, as we continue to break down the fact that the Clippers yet again land another player. Does that mean that the NBA is switching to a pro-Clippers atmosphere? Anti-Lakers? Where are we on it? In the meantime, before we get back to your take, Stephen A. and the panel have plenty to say about the Saints on the heels of Drew Brees announcing he's coming back. We talked a lot about it on this show yesterday. Well, Emmanuel Acho joined Stephen A. and Max to talk about whether or not the Saints are now the favorite in the NFC.
The New Orleans Saints have had back-to-back 13-3 seasons. They went from a conference finals, bless you, they went from a conference finals to a loss of the wild card game. They lost to Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. And y'all gonna sit up here because the same dude is coming back? An all world dude, make no mistake about it. Ain't nothing but love and respect for Drew Brees, all right? But my point is, same team? Did something else happen to the New Orleans Saints that I don't know about? Did Ezekiel Elliott all of a sudden arrive? Did Derrick Henry all of a sudden arrive in New Orleans? Something like that happen? I'm sorry, did Antonio Brown get picked up and he's joining the Saints? Is that what happened? What are y'all talking about? There's nothing that happened here other than Drew Brees is staying. Drew Brees, my brother, is big time. I know this, but big time Mr. Big Time with Sean Payton, who I love, and I was great having him out on First Take in South Beach. It was great seeing you, Sean Payton. But damn it, there's no Super Bowl since 2009. Last time I checked, Drew Brees was there all these years. He was there. Was he out there? Was he there?
He was there.
Was he there? He was there. Some APB out for Drew Brees because he was missing? I don't think so. He was there. Was Sean Payton there? Yep, he was there. How about Alvin Kamara? He was there. Michael Thomas, was he there? Yes, he was. So all I'm saying is, it's the same team.
Stephen A.
Of course they're ten. Listen, let me be very clear. They're a title contender. The question is, should they be the favorite?
Yes.
Ahead of Seattle?
Yes.
Ahead of San Francisco?
So who's the favorite?
Come on.
Absolutely.
Stop it.
Absolutely. Here's the thing, Stephen A. It took a miracle, a Minneapolis miracle, to beat them.
That's 3 years ago.
3 years ago. 3 years ago. Took a miracle. Mind you, a miracle.
By the way, I had an afro the size of yours 3 years ago, but keep going.
Mind you, a miracle can be explained by scientific law. That's quite literally the definition. The second year, it took an egregious and erroneous call by officials to keep them out. And then this past year took the overtime defense letting them down. So, the question, question that Roz, who is fighting through his illness, posed to us, was, should they be the favorite? Absolutely.
No.
Because of Drew Brees. Completion percentage the last 3 years. Record, NFL records. Yards per attempt the last 3 years. Still above his career average. Drew Brees, top three winningest quarterback the last 3 years. Drew Brees takes the New Orleans Saints from fringe wildcard team to NFC favorite. You have the Seahawks, I'm with you right there. You have the Packers, I'm with you right there if Aaron Rodgers shows up. But after that, to me, it's a toss-up. You got the 49ers, but you're not likely to repeat.
You mean the same 49ers team that dropped 46 or 48 on them?
That 49ers team.
So in other words, I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question.
Ask me, please.
Let me ask you a question. Does Drew Brees play defense?
He does not.
All right. Did you just say that New Orleans defense let him down?
Stephen A.
I'm sorry. Is there defense going anywhere?
But what's the best defense? The best defense is a good offense. And coming from a defender.
How did they only score 20 against Minnesota?
How'd they lose again? By overtime rules, sir.
How did they only score 20? That's what I asked.
Drew Brees never got back on the field.
All right.
He never got back on the field.
I'm still asking the same question.
What's the question?
How did they only score 20 points? This prolific, high-powered offense, why did they only score 20?
It was a playoff game.
If you have to point to a team scoring 20 as a problem, like, look at them, they only scored 20, it tells you a lot about their offense. Of all the dynamic offensive teams, the Saints the last several years have had the best defense of the dynamic offensive pass-the-ball teams. What about the running back? Kamara? Kamara's a great running back, and he can catch passes. You have a great wideout who may be the best in the game at this moment. You still have, as Acho points out, an exceptionally accurate quarterback. You have a backup who can do all the things I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Throw the ball, run the ball, catch the ball, block. Yeah. You have a defense that can stop the run better than other dynamic offenses.
So,
at this moment, on paper, they should be the favorites.
He's preaching to a choir that ain't listening. Here's the deal, all right?
Talk to me.
Last time I checked, you could have said that about Drew Brees and the Saints last year and the year before that.
It took a miracle, Stephen A.
We could have said it several – all I'm saying is we have been saying that about the Saints for several years. I am not saying that the Saints can't play. I am not saying they're not a playoff team. I am not saying that they're not in the picture. But I'll be damned if I'm going to pick a team that got bounced out in a wild card spot to Kirk Cousins. All right? I'll be damned if I'm going to pick them to
be the favorite. Max is in Vegas right now. You know, Max, Stephen A., you know this. The favorite don't mean you're going to win. The favorite just means the odds say. If I'm picking one team, I'm picking the Saints.
I'm listening to Acho, and I'm listening to Professor Kellerman, and all I'm trying to say to the both of y'all is this. When you say favorites, what you're telling me is that of all the teams in the NFC,
that
should be the team that you pick to go to the
Super
Bowl.
So who you picking then?
I would pick San Francisco or Seattle ahead of them.
That's the first take. We want your take. Chip in Georgia, what's your take on the Saints?
Yes, I wanted to ask Jason a question about Drew Brees goes down the second game of the season and they insert Bridgewater. He comes in and wins 5 games in a row. And don't get me wrong, this guy Hill is a great player. But what has he done? you will give him the keys to the car.
No, nothing. And you know what? There's two sides to this. Number one, I would not give the keys to the car for Taysom Hill for any reason. I don't care what anybody says. He's almost 30. He has 13 career pass attempts. He played four seasons at BYU and never stayed healthy. There is zero reason I would ever give the keys to my franchise to Taysom Hill. All right, that being said, if we're going to talk about what happens if your starting quarterback goes down, man, that conversation for almost every single team is, guess what? Your team's going to stink. So if we're talking about whether or not your team's a playoff contender, you got to have your starter either way. I want to keep getting your first take. I want, or your take on first take, your take. We keep asking you guys. We're seeing players gravitate to the Clippers. Is that pro Clippers? Is it anti-Lakers? 888-SAY-ESPN. That's how you get in on it. 888-729-3776 when we come back. Is it a mistake for Kyrie Irving to have a leadership role? A lot of us were surprised. Kyrie Irving was elected to a leadership role in the NBPA. We'll get the panel's thoughts on whether or not that was a mistake next. But first, it's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is. We all do. It's full defensive coverage with zero holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers. But this is important. I'm frugal. It's for a lot less, just $45 a month, and it gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data. Then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers with no contract, full court coverage, half the cost. It's Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We got the Straight Talk from Kyrie Irving. He's part of the leadership committee. Should he be? You'll hear the panel's thoughts next. First take, your take on ESPN Radio. First take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you've missed any of First Take, Your Take today, go check out the entire show on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast. That's right, we've got a podcast brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card, sends an alert to your phone. This is the important part. It then helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. So, obviously, one of the big stories in the NBA has been that Kyrie Irving has been elected to be vice president of the NBPA, the Players Association. Now, Kendrick Perkins, former NBA player, ESPN basketball analyst, called it the blind leading the blind. Also questioned Kyrie's level of leadership at any stop in his career. That being said, I would ask you, how many of you even knew who the vice president of the Players Association was before Kyrie? That was Pau Gasol, by the way, that he's replacing. In the meantime, Stephen A. was able to talk about Kyrie, who's struggled on the court, but off the court should be viewed through a different light.
This is just basketball analysis, looking at the issues that Kyrie Irving has had and the games that he's missed and playing the leadership role. Kendrick Perkins is perfectly within his right to say that, mm-hmm. because that's on the outside looking in. It made you say, ouch. But nevertheless, from an outsider's perspective, I can't blame where he go. I won't go that hard with Kyrie because I know Kyrie a little bit and we talk and I got a lot of love for him. And I think I have some insight into how he is. Here's what I will say. What I do like about this is that it should apply more pressure on Kyrie to show up. When he's there, he's delivered. And because he averages 27 a game and mm-hmm. we know what he can do. All right. I'm simply saying, damn, bro, you already missed 33 games this year. KD ain't come to Brooklyn to play by himself. This team is a solid team, even without Kyrie. But with Kyrie and KD, if Kyrie brings his game, I know what KD gonna do. And I'm looking at them as a title contender next mm-hmm. year with KD. You, Kyrie Irving, you pride yourself in being cerebral. You pride yourself in being a thinker. You're very into making sure that what you do extends beyond the court of play because you want to have that kind of impact. Kyrie just has to remember it all starts with you showing up to perform. When you are not able to do your job for whatever reason, people are going to question why you got another job. Master what you do first. We know what he can do when he's healthy. I'm just saying prioritize getting healthy. I'm not saying don't be on the MBPA. I'm not saying don't be a VP. I'm not saying don't add your level of intellect or whatever the case may be. What I'm saying is I don't want to see something else be a priority over you being on that damn court. So him being in this position, dealing with those players.
He's not saying he's making that more of a priority than him being on the court, though.
I know he's not. I'm saying that being in that position is going to put him in a position where people are going to say to him, when you going to play?
That's fair.
When you going to play? Because we don't give a damn about the damn committee if you ain't playing. Chris Paul's the president. but he's also an all-star.
First Take, your take. We've been asking you for your take. As we all know at this point, Reggie Jackson has picked the Clippers, not the Lakers. It continues a trend of the Clippers landing players. The Lakers don't. So is it pro-Clippers, anti-Lakers? I want your take, Tyler, in St. Louis. What's your take on the issue?
So I think that it's the Clippers are pulling the trigger faster, and the Lakers aren't pulling the trigger so fast because they don't want to break apart that chemistry. We know their chemistry, I think, is tighter than any other team. And last year, when they were threatening Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, in a trade to Anthony Davis, other than LeBron's injury, that just brought the team downhill, and that just led them to decline to go not even in the playoffs.
Tyler, I think it's a great point about chemistry, especially let's remember the loss of Kobe Bryant is something that this team for the Lakers is dealing with in their own personal way. We're not in that locker room every way to see what effect it would have to bring in an outside person. I think that's an underreported part of what the Lakers are facing. Brian, in New Jersey, what's your take on the Clippers-Lakers?
Hi, Jason. The Reggie Jackson move is obviously pro-Clippers. Everything is pro-Clippers at this point. It's the Clippers conference to lose. And the reason I say that is the Clippers have 9 guys who can shoot over 35% from 3. The Lakers only have 6 if you're counting Reggie Jackson as a member of the Clippers, which he is. And if something were to happen to Anthony Davis in the playoffs, which he is the most fragile superstar of the 4 on both teams, I mean, it would be worse than the 2015 Cavs in terms of the level of help LeBron would have left on the team. So, yeah, the Clippers are the most balanced team. They have the most all-defensive players from the last 3 seasons in Beverly, George, and Leonard. The Lakers only have 1, Davis. And if he gets hurt...
Well, I appreciate the call, but are we really going to talk about injuries without acknowledging what the Clippers have faced this year? I mean, Paul George can't get on the court. Paul George can't get healthy. And as Doris Burke pointed out the other day on Golic and Wingo, if you talk crunch time, a game that's in the last 5 minutes, under 5 minutes left, the Clippers roster that we've expected has played a total of 18 minutes together in that situation. We have no idea who the Clippers are going to be as they attempt to gel together. I mean, injury, look, if we're going to take injury, all I ever ask in that conversation is you say hold that same standard to everybody in the conversation. Speaking of the conversation, here's what I know is going to continue on ESPN Radio. Will Cain has plenty to say about LeBron, speaking out about Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball Commissioner. Check it out next. The Will Cain Show coming up next on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Thanks for listening to First Take, Your Take.